This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rahmatin lil alameen. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the final Prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all those who follow His way with righteousness until the end of time. There were many topics which I considered speaking about today. Because over the past few weeks in my interactions with many of the young Muslims in our community, I found there's a lot of questions about Islam. And I could have perhaps made the Jummah lecture on each question one by one. What I decided instead is to go back to the root of all these issues. So the central theme between every question that young people ask. And that question, you know, where all the other questions come from is, what is the Sharia? Why is there a Sharia? You know, why do we have to follow a Sharia? Why is the Sharia the way it is? Right? Because if you look at the questions young people ask, questions like, why does Islam have so harsh punishments for crime? Why do women have to cover their hair? Why do I have to pray 5 times a day? Why can't I date? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? It all comes down to one question. Why do we have a Sharia? Why did Allah send us laws? That's a real question. Because if you understand why Allah sent us laws, you wouldn't really need to go into each law and try and figure out why. Because the central reason is enough. And so I've decided that today, inshallah, we're going to speak about this topic. And this topic is quite long, so I may split this over several Jummah lectures, inshallah. Today I just want to focus on the main reason. So what I want to focus on today is, number one, what is Sharia? Number two, why is there a Sharia? And number three, what is the main goal or the main purpose of the Sharia? Now this word Sharia, you know, nowadays it's like a scary word. People don't use it anymore. People are afraid of it. You know, the Sharia is barbaric, they say. It's horrific. It's harsh. It's violent. You know, the Islamophobes, they say things like, Muslims want to force Sharia upon us. You know, they're bringing Sharia to non-Muslim countries. So it's used as a scary word, similar to the word jihad. These are words people don't want to mention anymore because they are afraid, you know, of the connotations that come with using these words. But as Muslims, we shouldn't be embarrassed by the word Sharia. It's actually a very beautiful word with a very beautiful meaning. And it really is the central part of our religion, is the Sharia. So what is it? The word Sharia means a way of doing things. And in terms of Islam, it means the way of life revealed by God for humans to live. That's all it is. When you say you follow the Sharia, it simply means you are following the way of life that Allah has revealed. That's all it is. It's nothing scary, it's nothing harsh, it's nothing strange. It simply means choosing to live your life the way Allah wants you to live it. That's called following the Sharia. Right, some people think the word Sharia is limited to criminal law. So when they talk about Sharia, they talk about, for example, how you deal with thieves, or how we deal with murderers. And that's Sharia. But actually, when you study the books of Sharia, that's like 5 or 10% of what's found in the books. That's actually called hudud. It's called hudud in Arabic. It means to fix criminal laws. It's like 10% or 5% of the Sharia. When you actually study Sharia, you study how to pray, how to fast, how to dress, what to eat, what not to eat, how to deal with people, how to run your business in an ethical manner. All of this is Sharia. So this is a comprehensive term about the complete way of life, and Muslims should not be afraid or ashamed of using this word. It is what we do. We follow the Sharia. We follow the way of life that Allah has revealed. Now, why is there a Sharia? According to modern understandings of the world, and you find this even among secular Muslims, you know, these people believe that God created us and left us to do what we want. And they believe that we're too insignificant for Allah to worry about our lives. And that's not correct. Right? This is a modern mindset that has been developed in the past 20 or 30 years. It didn't exist before that. Rather, if you actually look at revelation, whether it's the revelation sent to the previous prophets or to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of the revelation shows us that Allah cares about human beings. Allah didn't just create us and leave us. He cares about us. We are the creation that Allah cares about. He wants humanity to go to Jannah. He wants humanity to have a good life. He wants humans to be successful in this world and the next. And it is for this reason that He has revealed to us a way of life to show us how to do that. And that way of life is called the Sharia. So we believe that Allah has sent different Sharias to different prophets. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam came with laws that were suitable to his time. Those laws are called the Sharia, right? The Sharia of Musa alayhi salam, as found in the Torah, right? Then Prophet Isa alayhi salam came with a slightly easier Sharia, a Sharia that was more flexible and suitable to his time. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the final prophet, he came with the perfect Sharia, a Sharia that can be applied from his time until the end of times. So the Sharia is a comprehensive system of living that Allah has revealed. Why? Because Allah cares about the human beings. Allah wants us to stay away from things that are harmful for us. Allah wants us to live our lives in a way that is best. And Allah knows we can't figure this out on our own. We can't. And it's about time humanity admits that. For the past 100 years, human beings have been trying to figure out how to live on their own without religion. And it has been a complete disaster. From capitalism, to communism, to all these other isms that popped up in the past 100 years, feminism, all of these things, they have brought more and more problems to the world. Every time humans come up with a new idea, I think this is how humanity should be, it just creates more problems. People thought communism is going to solve problems, it created new problems. They thought capitalism will solve problems, it created new problems. They thought feminism is going to solve problems, it created new problems. There is only one thing that solves problems, and that is Allah's law. Because Allah made us, Allah knows what's best for us, and so Allah revealed a way of life that shows us how to live in the way that's best for us. And so when somebody lives their life the way Allah wants them to live, then you will see a reduction in problems for humanity. Now, does this mean that there won't be any problems? No. This is not Jannah. This is dunya. Dunya is a place of testing. There will always be problems. That's just the nature of dunya. What the Sharia does is, it makes it easier. It reduces the problems. Simple example, compare the stats for crime in a Muslim country to a non-Muslim country, especially to South Africa. You can automatically see the difference, right? That there is a reduction in crime in Muslim countries. Is there no crime? But there is crime, right? But it's a reduction of crime. It's much less. People feel safer in a Muslim country from criminals than they do in this country. Why? Because even if it's only parts of the Sharia they are applying, those parts are very effective, right? So the Sharia is there to protect us. Now there are entire books written about what the Sharia is and why it exists. There's an entire science in fiqh called Maqasid al-Sharia, the goals of the Sharia. And this science is very vast. I may cover it over a few weeks to help you understand it. Generally in the past, this science was only taught to ulama. Right? In the past, the science of the goals of the Sharia was only taught to the ulama, so they could understand the Sharia, apply to their times, come up with fatwas that are suitable to their times, and approach the text intellectually. But we live in a time where the average Muslim has access to internet. And because of the access to the internet, they have new questions. And most of these questions are about the Sharia. So I believe in our times, we need to bring this knowledge down to the average person's level, so we can answer their questions. So people can understand what is the Sharia, why we have it, and what are the goals and the purposes of it. Because Allah did not reveal anything which does not have a goal or a purpose. If Allah revealed the law, there's a reason behind it. So there's a reason behind the Sharia existing. And I want to focus today on the main reason. This reason was mentioned by Ash-Shatibi and by Ibn Ashur and many other scholars of the science in their books. And all of them say that there's one reason why the Sharia exists. Or rather, two reasons. Right? Those two reasons are to make life easy for humanity and to protect human beings from harm. That's it. The whole of the Sharia, every single law found in the Quran and in the Hadith revolves around one of these two or both of these principles. It's either there to make life easy for us, or it's there to protect us from harm, or it's there for both. How? How does the Sharia make life easy for us? For example, the Sharia encourages marriage, right? Which makes life easy for people. The Sharia allows divorce, which makes life easy for people. Compared to some religions where to be pious you can't get married. Very difficult. Some religions where if you get married you're never allowed to get divorced, no matter how terrible the marriage is. Makes life very difficult. Sharia came to make life easy for us. You can get married, you should get married, and if there's too many problems, if it's unmanageable, you can get divorced. A practical system, which makes life easy for people. The Sharia came to make life easy for us by showing us, you know, things to do that make life better. So for example, the Sharia, a large portion of it is good manners. Right? If everybody implements this good manners, we have a more peaceful society. We have a happier society. Life is easier. When people ignore the manners part of the Sharia, we end up with what we have today. You know, Muslims always angry and fighting with each other. Right? So the Sharia came to make life easy for us. The second thing the Sharia came for is to protect us from harm. And this is really what the haram is about. Allah has only made haram things which are harmful to humanity. And I previously gave an entire Jummah lecture about the same topic, so I'm not going to go into too much details about that. But in the previous lecture I mentioned that one of the primary principles of the Sharia is the protection of humanity from harm. Why can't we drink alcohol? Because it's harmful. Not just to us, but to those around us. Right? Why can't Muslims get involved in zina? Because it is one of the most harmful lifestyles in the world today. You don't believe me? Look at countries that have a zina culture and see how they are falling apart. Look at how the society is falling apart, how families are falling apart, how even the economies are falling apart because of the spread of immorality. Allah wants to make things easy for us and protect us from harm. Now, where do we get this from? That this is the purpose of the Sharia. We get this from the Quran and from the Hadith. Very beautifully in Surah Baqarah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Ramadan, right, and about fasting. Now, on the outside, especially to non-Muslims, when they look at it, they say, Ramadan looks hard. Fasting looks hard. This looks like something hard. But look how beautifully Allah explains it in the Quran. In verse 185 of Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you must fast in the month of Ramadan, and He explains why, and He explains that if you are sick or traveling, you can make it up later, and then Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْأُسْرَ. Allah wants life to be easy for you. He doesn't want things to be hard for you. You see, the two principles of the Sharia, to make things easy for people, to make life easy for people, and to protect them from harm, in this one verse about Ramadan. Why did Allah want us to fast in Ramadan? But if you are traveling or sick, you don't have to fast, you can make it up later. Because Allah wants to make life easy for you, He does not want life to be difficult for you. And so one of the fundamental concepts of the Sharia is that the Sharia is yusr. It is practical. It is something that can be applied anywhere to anybody's life. It is simple. I know the most common translation for yusr is easy, but I don't like using that translation because people misunderstand it in a modern context. So the principles of the Sharia that we're speaking about today, the Sharia is meant to be a means of making life easy for us and of protecting us from harm. I want to speak about four ways in which following Islamic law makes life easy for you. Number one, it gives you purpose. If you follow Islam, your life has a purpose. Your life has a meaning. And this solves a problem that the majority of humans have today. There are people out there who cannot sleep at night because they don't know why they exist. There are people out there who are in depression because they don't know why they exist. There are people out there who know that they're going to die one day and they don't know what to do between now and death because they have no idea why they exist. Their life has no purpose. And when your life has no purpose, you are in a constant state of anxiety. You are constantly worried. You're worried about death. You're worried about life. You're worried about your legacy. You're worried about what am I supposed to do while I'm here. You're worried about all these things. The Sharia takes away this worry. Allah tells us why we are here. Right? Allah tells us we are souls that Allah has created a long time ago. He has put us in these bodies for just a few decades. Just a few decades. For what? To prepare for the next world. Right? Where you're going to be much longer. You're going to be there forever. Right? This is just a temporary stop in our actual lives. Our existence on earth is a temporary stop in our actual lives. Our souls existed before this. It will exist long after this. This is a temporary stop to prepare for the next life. So what do Muslims do? They spend their lives preparing for the next life. How does this make life easy for you? You don't have that anxiety. You're not worried about the purpose of life. And most importantly, when somebody you know dies upon iman, it's much easier to deal with than it is for somebody who doesn't believe in afterlife. Because you know you're going to see them again. You know this is not the end. You know this is inevitable. You know that the soul has left the body, but the soul is still alive in the barzakh. We're still going to see it in the akhirah. And this makes it easy for us. So the Islam came to make things easy for us. It gives us purpose. Number two, Islam makes life easy for us because the Sharia has a firm moral foundation. If you follow the Sharia, you know what your morals are. You know what is right and wrong. If you don't have a Sharia, you are confused about these topics. And you will always be confused about these topics. Why? Why do I say this? Again, look at the modern world. The modern world is completely confused about what's right and wrong. They can't figure it out. Every year they change their laws. You know what happens in America, in Hollywood? An actor does something in 1995 that's considered acceptable, and in 2018 there's a court case about it because it's no longer considered acceptable. Or the opposite happens. Somebody hides something in 1995 because it's considered unacceptable. In 2018 they become open because now it's acceptable. Why? Because they have no moral foundations. They have no basis for what's right and wrong. So every year they are changing their laws. Every year they're changing their understanding of right and wrong. You know, they are so confused about what's right and wrong and what should be moral, what should be immoral, that I've been following this past few weeks online. Many of the atheist philosophers in the West are now saying there's nothing wrong with a mother and her son or a father and a daughter to be with each other intimately. Because why? They don't believe in a Sharia. Na'udhubillah. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in afterlife. They don't believe in consequences. They don't believe in morality. Put it this way, if there's no Sharia, if there's no God, if there's no afterlife, what's morality? What is right? What is wrong? It doesn't exist. And so this is the state that the world is headed towards. The only thing that can stop us from falling down that dangerous road that humanity is heading down is the Sharia. When you have a Sharia, when you have Allah's Sharia, when you have Islam, you know right from wrong. You know certain things are off limits. And no matter how the society changes, that will never change. Islam has stated that fornication and adultery are sins. In the modern world, it is everywhere. But we will always consider it a sin. We will always consider it a sin. Alcohol has been declared haram in the Sharia. Sharia considers it to be the mother of all evil. No matter how common alcohol consumption becomes in the world, a true Muslim will forever consider it to be the mother of all evils. We will not budge on our morality. You have a firm moral compass to live your life by. And again, this makes life easy for you. Why does it make life easy for you? Because you are not in a constant state of worry about what's right and wrong. You know what's right and wrong. Instead of having to worry about the laws changing tomorrow and right and wrong changing tomorrow, you know, this is what Allah says right and wrong. That's what I'm going to live by. Finish. There's no more reason to think about that. Number three, Islam makes life easy for us by giving us principles for dealing with the problems of this world. And this is unique to Islam. One of the reasons why many people from other religions have become atheists, and I don't say this to speak bad about other religions, but just based on my experience with people who converted, they all say the same thing, that in their religion, they were taught that if you obey God, if you love God, nothing bad will ever happen to you. This is what they were taught. And so when something bad happened to them, they lost faith in their religion. Now this is not what Islam teaches. Islam is unique here. Islam is unique here that Islam says, the closer you are to Allah, the tougher the test of life is going to be. This is a big difference. Other religions say, the more God loves you, the easier life's going to get. Islam says, the closer you are to Allah, the tougher life's going to get. Why? Because this is the testing ground. Jannah is where the easiest. In this world, you will be tested. So you may be wondering, if life gets harder when you get more pious, how does this make life easy for people? Right? The tests of life are going to come, whether you are religious or not. For example, if a family member is meant to pass away, whether you are a religious Muslim or not, that family member is going to pass away. But Islam makes life easier for you in that if you are religious, if you are practicing, you have the tools to deal with that debt. You have the tools to handle that debt and move on with your life without falling into all kinds of insanity that comes with, you know, with debt and with these kind of problems. You have the ability to handle it. So Islam prepares us for life. This is how it makes life easier for us. It prepares us for the test of life. And so you will find that people who don't have Islam, the smallest problem happens and they kill themselves. And a person who has Iman will be sitting in prison, being tortured, and he still has inner peace. And he's still praying his salah. He's still reciting Quran. He's still doing da'wah to the other prisoners. Why? Because Islam has given him the tools to be at peace on the inside, no matter what's going on around him on the outside. And only Islam can do this to you. Only Islam and the Sharia can create this sense of inner peace in a person, that no matter how much the world has fallen apart around him, he still remains focused on the Akhirah. The fourth way that Islam makes life easy for us is it has created a Sharia where the law changes based on circumstances. Meaning what? If you cannot pray when standing, you pray when sitting. If you can't pray when sitting, you pray while lying down. If you can't make wudu, you make tayammum. If you're too sick to fast, you can fast later. This is the beauty of the Sharia. Right? That Allah has created a Sharia where Allah cares about us. If Allah wanted, you could say, you know what, it doesn't matter. You find water and you make wudu, there's no such thing as tayammum. And we would never have heard of tayammum if Allah didn't reveal it. Allah revealed it out of ease for us. Allah made this religion a religion of ease. And this is why this is one of the principles of fiqh. That the religion is practical. And when it gets too hard, then the law actually gets easier. Meaning, if a certain law of Islam gets too hard to apply in a specific place or time, then the law changes for that place or time. I just to give you a practical example from dealing with my own students. When one of the Muslim countries, a coup happened, and they started targeting Muslims with big beards and locking them up in prison. So my students who were living there, they asked me, they said that, you know what, we all got big beards, we're scared to leave our homes. So I told him, in this circumstance that you all are living under, you all can shave your beards. In that circumstance. For us in South Africa, grow your beards. No one's going to harm you in South Africa for growing a beard. But the Sharia says the preservation of human life takes precedence over all the other laws. If you can eat pork to save your life, you can shave your beard to save your life. So the law changes for that situation because they are in a tough situation. Islam is not so harsh and inflexible that you have to die for your beard. It's not like that. Rather, when we have the ease that we have in South Africa, we follow this. But when there is oppression, the ulama can consider it, they can look at the level of oppression, how bad it is, and they can for temporarily change the law accordingly. Why? Because Islam came to make life easy for people. Islam came to protect us from harm. And so when something becomes harmful, the ulama can look at it and say, hold on, in this situation, don't do it. Right? Even though it may be a part of the religion. This is part of the tafsir. This is part of Islam making life easy for people. Allah does not want us to be in unnecessary difficulty. Right? Allah does not want us to be in unnecessary difficulty. Rather, certain level of difficulty is expected. Of course, waking up for Fajr is difficult, but it's a good difficulty. Because it makes you more responsible, it makes you more mature, it makes you more religious, it gives you more time in your day. It's a good difficulty. But when it becomes a bad difficulty, you know, if making wudu is going to kill you, because you are, there's only cold water and it's minus 10 degrees, Allah doesn't say go for that difficulty, He says make the yamum instead. Right? So there's this levels of tafsir in our religion. The other side of the goals of the Sharia is protecting us from harm. And as I said, I spoke about this before, but just to summarize, there's four ways, or rather there's more, but I'm going to speak about four ways in which Islam and the Sharia are there to protect us from harm. And a lot of people can't understand this. You know, why does Islam make so many things haram? Well, first, this may surprise you, Islam does not make so many things haram. You can actually list the haram, but you can't list the halal. The halal is endless. You really cannot make a list of what is halal. There are so many things that are halal, you cannot write it down. The haram is limited to lists. You can write a book on what is haram. You could even write an article on what is haram. The problem today is that we are surrounded by those few things that are haram, so it looks like everything's haram. We're surrounded by alcohol, drugs, zina, everything related to zina, and so we see this and we say, oh, Islam makes everything haram. No, this culture's made everything halal. Right? But Islam actually only makes a few things haram. And those few things are haram because they are bad for society. That's all it is. If something is bad for society, Allah made it haram. Society will be better off without it. Society will be better off without fornication and adultery. Society will be better off without homosexuality. Society will be better off without alcohol and drugs. A society will be more peaceful, more stable, more normal without these things. Like in the modern world, let me give you one example of how all these things are destroying the modern world and what Islam protects us from. And I'll talk about this in a later lecture, inshallah, that one of the goals of the Sharia is the protection of the family. All of these things I mentioned destroy the family. And today, in the Western world, there is a danger of there being no such thing as family anymore. Right? Families don't exist. Women are having children out of marriage. The children don't know who their fathers are. They resent their mothers for the rest of their life because they don't know who their fathers are and they never had access to their fathers. And to make it worse, they're growing up with two mothers and no fathers because of this modern lifestyle. And maybe one or both mothers are alcoholics and one's on drugs. What do you think happens to that child? They grow up even worse. And it creates a cycle. A cycle that gets worse and worse with each generation. You see, the effects of sin don't just affect you, they affect your family and society. When a man or a woman commits zina, they're not just harming their own souls, they are harming their spouses, their family's honor, their future offspring, their future grandchildren. They are harming all of that. And so we see this in the modern world, that family, it almost doesn't exist in some places. People don't want to get married. People don't want to have children. People don't want to have commitments. They just want to do whatever their nafs wants them to do whenever they want to do it. What will happen to that kind of society? If no one's getting married and no one's having children and no one's raising children properly, what's going to happen? It won't exist in a few decades. It won't exist. It will fall apart. To protect us from this, Allah made all these things haram. Allah makes things haram to protect us. To protect society. Stay away from haram. You are doing yourself a favor. You're not doing Allah a favor. You are protecting yourself from harm. You are protecting your family from harm. So Allah made sin. He made the sinful things haram to protect us. Not just to protect society. But two more aspects I want to mention before we close off. Allah made certain things haram to protect us from ourselves. And many people don't think about this. And this may be a thought that might scare you. But each and every one of us have within us the capability of great evil. Every human being has within them the capability of great good and great evil. Every one of us. And when you follow Islam, you are nurturing that good and you are suppressing that evil. Part of our nafs is ammara bisu. It commands us to do evil. But there is another part of our nafs that is mutmainna. It's in a state of inner peace. It's connected to Allah. And so Islam, it focuses on developing the nafsul mutma'inna and stopping the nafs ammara bisu. It focuses on getting us to get into a state of inner peace and put aside those evil thoughts. If we don't follow the Sharia, we are capable of great evil. Anybody. From the biggest of maulanas, to the greatest of presidents, to the most average person in the street, everyone is capable of evil. And sometimes we are shocked, yo, this Mawlana did this and this Sheikh did that. It's because in a moment of weakness, they didn't follow the Sharia and it led them down the path of evil. It shows what each of us are capable of doing. All of us have this within us. So Sharia protects us from ourselves. Follow the Sharia, you will be your best self and you will stop yourself from becoming your worst self. Right? Number four, the final point about Sharia protecting us from harm, and this goes back to the criminal law aspect. Sharia is there to protect us from criminals. Even if it is at the expense of the criminal's life. Right? And this I think is the most easiest one for us to understand. If we are living in a safe country, maybe we wouldn't find it easy to understand. But we live in a country where we can see what a disaster modern law is when it comes to criminal law. We're not safe. Nobody feels safe. But in a Muslim society, even those that don't have 100% Sharia, which is I think all of them, even there, you still feel safer. You still feel safer in a Muslim country. Every Muslim country I visited is safer than this country. Right? There is less crime. Or the crimes are less severe in nature. People are not invading your homes with guns. At the most, they may pickpocket you or steal a handbag. Right? It's less severe levels of crime. Why? Because the Islamic law is such, it's there to protect society from criminals. You know? People think it's barbaric that Islam amputates the hand of a thief. I can't go into details about this. It'll literally take half an hour to explain. But put it simply, Islam does not amputate the hands of a thief just like that. It has to be a professional thief who stole something from a secure location above a certain value, and he shouldn't have an excuse. Meaning if you're dying of hunger or something, you're not going to chop his hand off. It has to have all these conditions, and it has to be proven. And then only his hand is amputated. And you know what? I truly believe this is a better punishment than 10 years in jail. Your hand's chopped off, you go back to your family, you carry on with your life. 10 years in jail. You spend 10 years living with other criminals, becoming a worse criminal. And what happens to your family? They don't see you for 10 years. What's worse, going to prison or a punishment that takes a few seconds? Think about it. In fact, in the Sharia, there is no prison system. Because Islam doesn't want to separate families or put all the criminals in one place together to hang out with each other for 10 years or 20 years. Right? So we actually don't have a prison system in the Sharia. Rather, we have these punishments. Someone is a murderer, chop his head off. You know, save society. Right? From that individual. The land will be safer. You chop off the head of one murderer, thousands of people will decide never to commit murder. You just saved millions of lives. Right? So the Sharia protects us from criminals. If we had to live in a society that applies even a part of it, we will immediately see an increase in peace and a decrease in crime. If you have to live in a society that implements all of it, then crime may even altogether disappear from that society, except small nuggets here and there, because this world's not perfect and you'll never have a perfect society. So with that, we come to the end of this presentation, and inshallah, next time I will continue talking about more ways in which the Sharia benefits us. Inshallah, next time I'll speak about the 5 fundamental things that Islam came to protect, and how the Sharia predicts these 5 aspects of human life. May Allah help us to understand this religion properly, to live by it, to practice it, to value it, to love it, and to be proud of it, and to represent it, and not to be from those who are ashamed of Islam, or embarrassed by Islam, or who are running away from Islam. May Allah put the love of Him and His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and His religion into our hearts, and make us from those who are the firmest followers of it. Wa akhir da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.